Bard on the Brain, a new book connects Shakespeare with modern brain science. Here's the intro. This month marks the 439th birth anniversary of the great English dramatist and poet William Shakespeare. Shakespeare's plays and sonnets have long been considered without equal in the richness of their language and ability to examine the complexity of the human condition. And now a new book has been published that suggests that Shakespeare's understanding of human behavior may have been the precursor in the study of neurology, the science of the brain. Robin Rupley talked with one of the authors of Bard on the Brain, Understanding the Mind Through the Art of Shakespeare and the Science of Brain Imaging. She has this report.
If music be the food of love, play on.
At a recent reception in Washington, D.C. for the publication of Bard on the Brain, several actors presented examples of some of the themes from the works of William Shakespeare, such as power, love, family, treachery, addiction, and depression, themes that resonate as much today as they did when they were written four centuries ago. Neuroscientist Paul Matthews, who collaborated with Shakespeare scholar Jeffrey McQuain on the book Bard on the Brain, says many of the psychological processes in Shakespeare's dramas can be connected to the theories made by modern brain scientists.
What we're doing now with the new techniques in what's called cognitive neuroscience or the brain science of thinking is not just ask how it is that the brain responds to light or how it is that the brain makes a finger move, but really how it is that the brain perceives the broader pictures in the world, how it is that we generate the desire to move, how it is indeed we feel emotions, love, hate, anger, and so on. These are the same questions that Shakespeare was interested in. And so what we're really seeing now is a way in which these two ideas, or two approaches, the approach of art and the approach of science, to the common problems of understanding how we act the way we do.
When the neuroscientist reread Shakespeare, he found passages where the dramatist addressed specific emotions and behavior, such as Hamlet, whose inability to make up his mind leads to depression, or the Duke Orsino in Twelfth Night, who is so lovesick he is delusional.
So full of shapes is fancy, that it alone is high fantastical.
And Falstaff, whose character lives to drink and carouse, might be an example of the need for instant gratification.
Your good sherry sack has a twofold operation to it. It ascendeth thee into the brain, drives me there.
I've always been very concerned about the notion that two cultures have developed in our modern world, a culture of science and a culture of art, and there seem to be precious few connections between them.
In the book Bard on the Brain, neuroscientist Paul Matthews and Shakespeare scholar Jeffrey McQuain have produced a colorful photographic book that they hope will make science and Shakespeare more accessible to a mainstream public. Dr. Matthews says he has seen a trend among authors who use art as a means of communicating scientific theory, as well as scientists who are beginning to present their findings in a more literary way.
Oliver Sacks, for example, who's always been a great favorite of mine, uses literature and the approaches of literature to illuminate his medical experience in order to make neuroscience come alive. Jonathan Miller in the UK, who really distinguishes himself as someone who has his foot in both cultures, as a director of opera, of theater, an actor, as well as a qualified doctor and presenter of neuroscience to the public. But I think one of the things that I am immensely encouraged by is that more and more we're seeing scientists also are taking the responsibility to communicate clearly and precisely with the public and are having to adopt a more literary approach in their own right. So I think a lot of people are moving in both directions now.
Now is the winter of our discontent, a glorious summer by this sun of yours.
William Shakespeare never thought of himself as a scientist, and would probably have been astonished to think that 400 years after his death, his works were being lauded as a template for psychoanalytic study and neuroscience. He was simply a keen observer of human beings and wanted to translate those observations into hit plays that sell. This is Robin Rupley.